All right, and welcome to another episode of Wide Receiver Academy. My name is Josh, and I'm going to go ahead and do a breakdown today of two wide receiver prospects coming into the draft this year. Today, we're going to be discussing wide receivers Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina, and we're going to be discussing Troy Franklin, wide receiver out of Oregon. I want to go ahead and discuss these guys' strengths, their weaknesses, and their best comps in the NFL, and I want to show you what their value may be in fantasy football. So to start things out, we're going to go ahead and kick it off with Xavier Leggett. Xavier Leggett is a 6'3", 227, pounded wide receiver coming out of South Carolina. His best comp is probably going to go ahead and be Deebo Samuel, another, South Carolina receiver. But the reason I comp him to Deebo Samuel is because Xavier Leggett is obviously a bigger threat. He's somebody who can be utilized not only as a receiver, but he gets touches out of the backfield. He runs a lot of jet sweeps. He's used eerily similar to how Deebo Samuel's used in the NFL. Now, while Xavier Leggett, his strengths are obviously his physicality, his size, his speed. He's a really great downfield threat, right? So if he gets past, the second level of the defense and he makes a catch, he's going to take it home. He's going to take it into the end zone. He's going to score. And he's also great on those end breaking routes, meaning he runs a lot of drag routes, slant routes, post routes. He runs a lot of end breaking routes in which he can go ahead and get a mismatch against a linebacker, do what he needs to do, whether it's juke him out their shoes or just run through him. And, he makes plays happen after. He's going to be a yak monster in the NFL. Xavier Leggett is somebody who I like a lot. I have him within my top 10 receivers from this draft class in terms of, fantasy utilization. And he's right outside of my top five. So my top five wide receivers from this draft class include Marvin Harrison, Rome Odunze, Malik Nabers, Adonai Mitchell, and Xavier Worthy. Xavier Leggett probably comes in around like that 7 to 8 mark. And the reason I really like him is because he's really easy to just get the ball to. He's not target dependent. The guy can go into a season, get 100 targets, and he'll still produce for fantasy because he'll get 25 carries. He'll still get, jet sweeps. He'll still get really just easy touches. And he's not like a one-dimensional threat. He's not just a deep threat. So I really like his game. At South Carolina, what I saw from him was obviously he was a mismatch against most DBs. He would go ahead and moss a lot of dudes because of his size. He's 6'3". What I did not like from Xavier Leggett, so we're going into his weaknesses now, was that the guy didn't really have too extensive of a route tree. Not only did he not have too extensive of a route tree, but it seemed as if you were able to keep up with him downfield, if you were able to keep up with him kind of step for step, naturally it's going to make it harder for him. But Xavier Leggett would occasionally have these concentration drops if there was just too much pressure around him, right? So I saw him drop a lot of passes just because he would kind of anticipate a hit coming and, he wouldn't, look through the pass. He wouldn't look through the catch. That's a problem only because at the NFL level, these athletes are faster, they're stronger, and they're going to be able to keep up with you. And if you have a tendency to take your focus off of an incoming pass, you're going to have a lot of drops at the next level. That's inevitable. And so my comp for him is obviously going to be Deebo Samuels. The strengths for Xavier Leggett is going to be his size, his physicality, and his ability to go ahead and just easily get touches. I would like to see Xavier Leggett land in like a, I don't want to say like a Kyle Shanahan style of offense because there's only one Kyle Shanahan offense, but I would love to see him land in a zone offense in which the passing game is predicated on timing routes, meaning, hey, in a zone offense, you need to go ahead and deliver the ball to the receiver at an exact moment, right? Now, if Xavier Leggett runs a lot of in-breaking routes, so he's running drag routes, slant routes, post routes, in routes, those are going to be the easiest completions for the quarterback, regardless of where he lands, because those completions are going to be within 10 yards. They're going to be in the middle of the field. And, he's going to be mismatched against outside linebackers and middle linebackers. So, you get the ball into his hands, he gets yards after the catch, and he makes a big play happen, which makes everybody happy. The weaknesses I don't like, obviously, are going to be his route tree, because while he runs those in-breaking routes really well and he's great for an occasional fade, he's not going to really juke anybody out in the route. He's not going to, you know what I'm saying, like create too much separation. And he doesn't adjust well in the air. Like, unlike Garrett Wilson, unlike Brandon Ayuk, unlike Amon-Ra St. Brown, he's not going to adjust for a pass if it's somewhat off target. You need to kind of hit the guy in the chest and the numbers for him to go ahead and make something happen. If it's even like somewhat out of his range, I'm not saying he, like, I guess I don't want to say he won't catch it, but he seemed to struggle with that in college. So I would like to see him at the next level work on his route tree a little bit, work on his hands a little bit. Those concentration drops really kind of threw me off. But in terms of fantasy football, I think Xavier Leggett has the potential to be like a low-end wide receiver two for you if you play in like a 12-man, one-quarterback dynasty league. So he has the type of ability in which he could be maybe like a wide receiver. Like at his peak, he's maybe like wide receiver 18 to wide receiver 24 in dynasty rankings by next year or within the next couple of years. But once again, I want to see this guy in like a zone offense. I want to see him work in an offense that really leverages those easy completions, because I think it's going to really benefit him. He's going to get a lot of easy completions. His physicality is going to overweigh, you know, a lot of his other options on offense in the receiver room. And, you know, he's going to go ahead and be able to feast. So I like Xavier Leggett. He's probably somewhere close to like my wide receiver 7, wide receiver 8 in the draft class. Could easily be higher. Obviously, if I have the guy as a low-end wide receiver too, that tells you what I think of his ceiling. My only skepticism with him is that he's going to – I don't know where he's going to land. This is obviously being recorded before he lands with an NFL team. So as a pure prospect, while I like him, I do kind of have to hold him back because I realize that he is scheme-dependent. All right, and we're going to go ahead and talk about Troy Franklin, wide receiver out of Oregon. Troy Franklin was a really interesting prospect for me to kind of evaluate. Bo Nix is projected to be a first or second round quarterback in the NFL, and Bo Nix was Troy Franklin's quarterback at Oregon. Troy did not have a ton of competition in the receiver room at Oregon. You could argue that Bucky Irving was one of his, primary other threats on offense. And coming into the NFL, one thing I noticed about, you know, Bo Nix's connection with Troy Franklin was that these guys were, you know, Jack and Jill. It was Matthew Stafford and Puka again, right? Troy Franklin really gave the vibes to me like he was almost like a zone buster. He had so much chemistry with Bo Nix that, you know, anytime that the guy got passed off from his initial zone coverage, Bo Nix would know. He would hit him in stride, and Troy Franklin would catch it before he got to a second defender and then, you know, get a chunk yard gain. If you guys don't understand what I'm talking about, if you guys watched Matthew Stafford and Puka Nacua last season, you would probably realize that a lot of Puka Nacua's success came from not only Matthew Stafford targeting him at a high rate, but it also came from Matthew Stafford and Puka having that chemistry in which, hey, you know, once you get past the first defender in the zone defense, I'm going to hit you in that gap and you're going to beat the zone. You're going to catch the ball and you're going to get yak yards. That's what Matthew Stafford did with Cooper Kupp for years, right? So if you guys don't understand zone defense, you know, every person is responsible for a certain segment of the field. So if you get past your initial defender, and they're responsible for the first 5 yards, and you get to the sixth and seventh yard, you're now open until you get to the next defender who's defending everything 10 yards and back, right? You have about 4 to 5 yards of open space in which you can catch a ball, and if you're athletic enough, you can make yards after the catch happen. If you can make yards after the catch happen, you'll have a productive season, and that's a lot of what I saw with Troy Franklin. Bo Nix just had amazing chemistry with the guy. He hit him in stride. He hit him when he would, you know, break the zone. And that was great for college because in the Pac-12, there's not as many great DBs as there are in the SEC, perhaps. But one thing I noticed about Troy Franklin was that he's like a lankier receiver. He made a lot of deep passes happen because Bo Nix has a rocket for an arm. I want to say in 2023, Bo Nix only had 3 interceptions. And in the contrast, he had 45 touchdowns, which tells you how good of a season he had. But Troy Franklin was someone in which he was the primary benefactor of that. Now, my comp for Troy Franklin is probably closer to like a Jalen Reagor, maybe Sterling Shepard a little bit. And the reason I say that is because Troy Franklin didn't necessarily win because of his pure physical ability. He more so won because of the situation that he was placed in. He was placed in a situation in which he had a first-round quarterback. He was the primary threat in the offense. You know, the quarterback had enough chemistry with him to realize when he was always open and strike him. Troy Franklin, in terms of this draft class and in terms of the wide receiver athletes we have available, Troy Franklin isn't in the top 10 of the best wide receivers athletes that we have available in class. Once again, a lot of his production just came as a benefactor of having a first round quarterback at, throwing him the ball. And a quarterback who was comfortable and was smart enough to realize, hey, this guy has a gap open for the next 2-3 yards. Let me hit him now and, see what he does. Troy Franklin going into the NFL has a lot of things working against him because, one, if you want to have the same success you had in college, you need to have not as many threats in your receiver room, meaning that you're the primary guy. So the only situation in which I see Troy Franklin being the primary receiver in an offense is if he ends up in the New York Giants offense, right? In which he's fighting, Jalen Hyatt for targets. The second situation that needs to happen for him to have similar success to what he had at Oregon is he needs to have a good enough quarterback that can deliver the ball and will have the chemistry with him to realize when he's open. Now, because he no longer has his guy, Bo Nix, he has to recreate that energy, that chemistry with the new quarterback. Even if he hypothetically ends up in the best case scenario, which is he ends up in the New York Giants offense with Daniel Jones, he has to create that chemistry with Daniel Jones, and he has to rely on Daniel Jones regularly delivering him the ball, where he needs to get it in order, for him to make a play happen. So those are two things that are already hard to predict or estimate. The third thing he needs in order to have the same success that he had at Oregon is he needs to not see as much man coverage. At Oregon, when people got hands on him, particularly if you watch the game against Arizona State, when people got hands on Troy Franklin, who I referenced earlier being a lanky, kind of smaller receiver, they kind of got him out of rhythm, man. In the NFL, compared to college, they play a lot more man coverage. Not just a little more man coverage, a lot more man coverage. You might see double the amount of man coverage that you saw in college. Troy Franklin, once again, as I referenced, was a zone buster. When guys get hands on you and they're fast enough to follow you step by step, they're big enough to go ahead and kind of get in your grill. He struggled, bro. Like, that's just the facts. That's just what I saw on tape, right? A lot of his reps and a lot of his big plays came off of a defender being 5 yards back. Troy Franklin would obviously make a move. The defender would pass him off. Bo Nix would hit him in the gap between the first defender and the second defender. Franklin would catch it, and then it would be yards after the catch that would happen. At the NFL level, that's just not going to be the same situation. And in order for Troy Franklin to be the same receiver that he was at Oregon, you're relying on him building elite chemistry with his quarterback. You're relying on him being the best receiving threat on the offense, and you're also relying on him either becoming much better at man coverage or not seeing as much man coverage. If you ask me as a person who thinks that he's relatively realistic, that sounds like a lot of conditionals you need for this guy to go ahead and produce at a similar level to what you saw at Oregon. That sounds like a lot of conditionals. And that's something I'm not really willing to bet on because he's not a top 10 athlete in this draft class for receivers. Off the top of my head, Malik Nabers is a better athlete. Xavier Worthy is a better athlete. Marvin Harrison, Romo Dunze, Brian Thomas, Ladd McConkey. You can go ahead and probably put Ricky Pearsall in that conversation. like it gets to a point to where, you know what I'm saying? Like Xavier Leggett, you have so many great receivers in this draft class that there's going to be some guys who just don't deliver. And similar to what you saw back in 2020, in which you had a class that had CeeDee Lamb, T. Higgins, Justin Jefferson, right? I think that Troy Franklin's going to end up being kind of like the Jalen Reagor of this draft class. He's going to be the guy who gets drafted relatively, maybe higher than expected in the first one or two rounds. But I think he's going to have a hard time delivering. Reagor got a lot of targets and opportunity at, you know, TCU. Same thing you could say about Troy Franklin. But I don't think Troy Franklin is a style of receiver that's just going to translate into the NFL at a high level. I think that his success was very situational. That's my opinion. That's what I think about Troy Franklin. That's what I think about Xavier Leggett. Guys, if you liked my analysis, if you liked this conversation, if you liked hearing what I had to say today, please go ahead and subscribe to our show. Fantasy Football with Gumbo is a weekly podcast that me and my buddy Dugo do, in which we talk about fantasy football prospects. But until we meet again, guys, this is Wide Receiver Academy. My name is Ja, and I wish you guys the best of luck in your rookie drafts. And once again, until we meet again, peace.